Turning to Matthew chapter 5, as we continue our study in God's Word in the book of Matthew, and then specifically within the Sermon on the Mount, and then also in the Beatitudes. And we are going to read from verse 1, "And seeing the multitude, Jesus went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Amen. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious Father, our loving God, we come before thee afresh this morning. We thank thee, Lord, for what has taken place in this service so far. And Lord, we pray that the words that we sang, and "I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean," we pray, Lord, they'll not just be words of our lips, but they'll also be the desires of our heart. And we ask you, Lord, that you will put within our heart good and godly desires. We pray, O Father, and confess that many times we spend so much time thinking about and working on things that are desires within our heart, and yet, Lord, they're worth nothing in the light of eternity. We pray, Father, you'll give us a proper focus. And even this morning, maybe there's some dear child of thine, Lord, and they need to have a refocus because, Lord, they're concerned about the wrong things in life. And I pray, Lord, if that's the case, that thou wilt speak to their heart. I pray, Lord, you'll remind God's people this morning of having the importance of having the right focus. And, oh God, for those that are not saved, we pray, Lord, you'll speak to their hearts and show them that these things that we preach about, Lord, are so important. They're essential, Lord. We talked about gaining the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and that's the very place they're shut out of. And we pray, Lord, today that if there's one in this meeting that's not saved, that even today you'll give them the desire to be a part of the kingdom of God. And, oh Lord, I pray within their hearts they'll have a desire to be saved. Lord, man is of no benefit when he comes to the Word of God if he does not have the Spirit of God. And therefore I pray for the Spirit of God to be in this meeting. I pray you'll empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that thou wilt be glorified in what I say. Lord, take from my lips those things that would not be pleasing to thee. And, Lord, fill my lips, Lord, with thy wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you'll help the preaching of thy Word, even to the listener, and Lord, to those that will listen online, we pray, Father God, whether they be online or whether it be in this congregation, that it'll be to the profit of their soul and even the extension of thy kingdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen and amen. Just to briefly review, we've been looking at the Beatitudes. We commenced there in verse number 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And that was speaking of those who know their spiritual poverty. They know they've nothing to offer God, but they flee to Christ, who gives them everything necessary for their salvation, and they are welcomed into the kingdom of God. And you know, the Word of God tells us to prepare to meet thy God, and you will never be prepared to meet God if you do not realize, first of all, your great need of him, and the fact that you've nothing to offer him. The way to preparation of meeting God, it is to go to the cross, and to go to the Savior of the cross, and to trust in the work that he has done for us. And then verse number 4 says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And this is talking about those who are mourning over sin, and how great it is whenever a Christian mourns over sin in their lives. And you know, the longer we walk and the Christian path, and the more we see of sin in our lives, and those things will displease us. That's the Lord getting victory in our lives. And praise God for that. Praise God when we're broken over sin that we see in the news and in our society. Praise God when we're broken over sin when we see it in our family and in our churches. And we go to God in prayer. And as I reminded you, in this wicked world, God will do one of two things when we mourn over sin. God will transform the community in which we live, or he will give us grace to live in a Christ-like manner within that sinful community. Then last week we thought about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And in reality we're talking about a humble, Christ-like servant attitude. And there's nothing more beautiful than someone who is surrendered to the will of God. Someone who seeks to serve others. Someone who seeks to take the humble place. And the Lord promises that we shall inherit the earth. Yes, the new heaven and the earth is coming. But also the Lord will give us every blessing that we need upon this earth. And praise the Lord, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Today we've come to verse number 6, and it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the word hunger, it means to be famished or to pine after something. Figuratively speaking, it means to crave something, to desire something. And the word thirst is literally or figuratively a thirst or a desire for something that will quench the desire. And therefore, the real theme this morning of this beatitude is our desires. Our desires. Blessed are they that desire righteousness, hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And there's three thoughts I want to leave with you this morning. The first thought is this, the focus of our desires. The focus of our desires, what we personally desire. You see, we can desire many things. There can be many desires within our heart. And what we desire within our heart will affect our actions, our words, our thoughts, and our conduct. What you desire will dictate the way you live. We can think of the Olympic competitor at the top of his or her sport, and they're desiring to win gold and be the champion. And they, based on that desire, that overwhelming desire, will make choices that affect every part of their lives. Their diet, their training, their rests, their activities, all their choices will be made in accordance with that desire to win gold at the Olympic competition. You know, in the Word of God, we read of the sinner, and it tells us that their feet are swift to run to evil. It tells us that they cannot sleep unless they have done something that is sinful. You see, their desires, their sinful nature that desires sin and loves sin, well, that dictates their actions. And if you're not saved today, not only are you a sinner in your sin, but you're a sinner in love with your sin. You love your sin. You love your rebellion. You love where you stand today. Now, if our desires are always for sinful activities, and if you're in this meeting and all you ever desire is sinful things, and for a life without the Lord and his gospel and without his forgiveness and without his word, and that describes the sinner today, then you are in great danger in this meeting today. If the only desires you have in your heart are desires for sin and for self, then you're in great danger today. And the reason for that great danger is your heart someday will be brought before God and God will judge your heart. And the Word of God says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, and listen to this, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Friend, if your heart is full of sin and sinful desires, then you will receive the reward or the penalty or the consequences of those sinful desires and of those sins. And you need to be saved today from that sin and from those desires. You'll never overcome them. You will never have victory over them. You cannot cover them over and pretend everything is okay. You need to be delivered from them. And you need them defeated in your life. And the only way sin can be defeated in the life of a sinner is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Lord can save you. And only the Lord can give new desires within the heart. Only the Lord can take away the sinful desires. Now, if you look at this verse, it says, blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness. Now, the word righteousness, it means innocence, holiness, just, meet. In other words, something that is appropriate. Now, the first time the word is used in Scripture is Genesis 15 and 6. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So righteousness, in the first instance and in the first sense, does speak about salvation. In fact, those who are saved have been given the righteousness of Christ. He has taken our sins in his body on the tree, and he gives us or imputes to us his righteousness. And therefore, the first righteousness that we ought to desire is a righteousness of Christ in his salvation. Because whenever we have the righteousness of Christ, then we will have the covering of Christ. We will have our identity in Christ. And that is so important. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're saved from the guilt and the punishment of sin, and from the stain and the record of sin, and from that identity that we used to have as a sinner, as a child of the devil. And praise God, that's all possible only through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have a righteous Savior, a holy Savior, a perfect Savior, who lived a perfect life, who died an atoning death, and who rose with a victorious resurrection, he is able to save to the uttermost. And friend, you need his righteousness if you're going to be right with God. He is the only one that can give us a salvation that delivers us from the guilt of our sin, that gives us a covering that covers our guilt and our shame, that gives us our identity. I love it in the epistles when Paul talks about being in Christ. That's your identity today. If you're saved, if you're not saved, your identity is you're still in your sin and you're a child of Satan. But when you're saved and the righteousness of Christ is given to you, you have a new identity. You become a child of God. And praise God, with that identity and with that covering and with that salvation, we're accepted by God. We're pleasing to God. We will live eternally in the place that God has prepared for those that love him. In fact, there's a lovely verse in Jeremiah 23:6, and it says, "And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." And I ask you this morning, is he your Lord? Is he your righteousness? Because there's no other righteousness that will stand before God. There is no other righteousness that means anything before God other than the Lord, our righteousness. You know, many people have lived and died in the cause of many things. But Christ was the only sinless person to die. He was the only righteous person to die. And thank God he not only died, but he rose again. You need Christ this morning. You need to be saved. But when we are saved, it is so important that we take note of our desires and that we make sure, as the children of the Lord, we're not entertaining desires that are against the Lord or that are sinful. You know, sometimes we have desires for things we want in life that are physical and material, and within themselves, there's nothing wrong. You want a nice home. You want your children to be healthy and well, and you want to raise a family. You want to do well at your work or your studies, and there's nothing wrong in the right place with such desires. But there's great danger, and there's always been this danger because the Lord speaks about it in his word. The great danger is that our desires for the physical things and the material part of life can override the spiritual desires and become the priority. And friend, if your desires this morning for this world and for the things of this world, and I'm not talking about sinful things, but I do mean about your home and your family and your clothes and your money and your job and all those things, if those desires are more important to you as a Christian than the spiritual desires you ought to have in your heart, then you are, first of all, unbalanced as a Christian. And if this is not checked, then you will continue in a state of the coldness of heart and in backslidden state. You see, priority in life for you and me, priority, the desires that ought to have the priority in our heart, ought to be spiritual desires. If you turn with me just over a page there, it says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What were they talking about? Well, look at verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, nor what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Now, let's be careful to say exactly what Scripture is saying here. It is not saying that you don't put any thought into what you eat or drink, or what you clothe yourself with, or what you do with your life. Of course, it's not saying that. It's saying don't make that the priority. Seek first the kingdom of God, the spiritual things, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added, therefore, unto you. So the priority that the Christian ought to have in their life, first and foremost, is spiritual. And maybe this morning there is a believer and they need to get before God and they need to say, "Lord, I'm sorry that the things of life have overtaken my spiritual desires and the things that ought to be first. Lord, the things that I'm living for today as a Christian really don't count for eternity. And I need to realign my priorities and get them refocused, because the focus must be the things of God." And in reality, not only ought there to be a priority in our focus, there ought to be a person there. And that person is Christ. And what we're saying this morning is this: hungering and thirsting after righteousness, it's not just the salvation of Christ, but it is everything that Christ is. Matthew Henry said, "Righteousness here in this verse speaks of all spiritual blessings. They are purchased for us by the righteousness of Christ and confirmed by the faithfulness of God. And our desire of spiritual blessings must be earnest." And here's a wonderful, joyful thing that I get to tell you this morning. The Lord has purchased manifold spiritual blessings without number for the people of God. And for those who seek the Lord and seek those blessings, they will receive them. But you know what the great problem of the Church of Jesus Christ is today? And with a lot of Christians, is they don't even desire the blessings that the Lord has purchased for them. Leonard Ravenhill wrote a poem. And one of the lines of that poem, he talks about the storehouses of God being so full. And then he finishes off saying, "But why are we so dry? Why are we so empty? Why do we not have what the Lord has promised to us?" The simple reason is because we haven't asked. We haven't desired. I wonder this week, parent, is your desire for your child to do well in school? Or is it to mature in Christ? I wonder, church member, is your desire just simply to come and go from God's house and do Sunday? Or is your desire to meet with God, to be taught of the Lord? You know, I marvel at the providence of God. Look at the verse I am preaching on this morning. Just as we commence a Bible conference, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And believer, there's two types of believer that are going to be at experience this conference. They're going to be those who come with a heart longing for God to bless them. And they're going to pray for these meetings. And they're seriously going to intercede for themselves and for their family and for their friends. And they're going to be here every night, and they're going to long for God, and they're going to seek God. And you know what? The blessing of God's going to come upon them, and they will be filled, and they'll be satisfied. And then there'll be those believers, and they might come to some of the meetings. They'll be here in the Sunday meeting. But they don't really desire the Lord to speak to their heart. They don't really desire their life to be turned upside down right now by the Lord. No, thank you. I'm okay. Sunday's enough for me. A friend, you're going to miss out. Because it's only those who seek after righteousness and desire it, they're going to be filled. A friend, there's a great blessing and opportunity for you. But I tell you, if your heart's not in it, if you're not part of it, and if you're not here and you're not desiring it, this conference is not going to mean very much to you at all. It's just going to be more meetings that you have to go to. Friend, if that's all this week of meetings is, then I tell you, I pray God will touch your heart. I pray God will touch your heart. I'm looking forward to these meetings, I have to confess. I said this morning to our brethren in the room just before we come into the meeting, I said, I had read Psalm 120 this morning, and as I read Psalm 120, I was very thankful there was someone come to preach on it. Because we need people to break the word of life to us, and to expound it, and to tell us what these things mean. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this week. Friend, what's your desire for this week? What's your desire for your family? What's your desire for your church? What's your desire for your land? You know what Paul said? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. They might be saved. He didn't say, my desire for Israel is that they would have these people ruling. Or that this law would be passed. And let's be realistic. In Israel, they had a foreign people ruling over them, the Romans. They had laws that they did not like. They had laws that were against Christians. But you know what? He prayed for his desire for his fellow countrymen was this, that they might be saved. Oh, I think the Lord has to touch my heart, and I think the Lord has to touch the heart of my brothers and sisters and put godly desires within our hearts. Whenever we trust in the Lord, he will give us the desire of our hearts. Maybe you're looking at your heart today, Christian, and you realize and you see and you know that there are wrong desires within your heart. As you know, there's been time this week and you've been daydreaming or thinking about things that you know are sinful. Or you have desires within your heart that you know if they were played out would be displeasing to the Lord. See, the Bible tells us that as the Lord spoke to them, he said, if you hate a brother in your heart, you're guilty of murder. Don't think that your desires are a lesser sin than the action that you commit. Your desires, if they're wrong, are sinful before God. And therefore, what do you need to do? Well, first of all, you need to realize they're wrong. This is wrong in my life. And if there's wrong in my life and there's sin in my life, it's going to hinder me. It's going to hurt me and my family and my church. It's going to dishonor the Lord. You need to realize. And then you need to remember that the Lord desires your heart. My son, give me your heart. And then you need to repent of those wrong desires. Go before the Lord and lay them out before him. Lord, I've been desiring after this. Lord, I've been desiring for this evening, to go home and put my feet up and put a film on television. No desire to be in God's house. Friend, that's wrong. And you need to pray that God would deal with your heart. And pray that the Lord will forgive your sin and repent of it and turn away from it and do not do it. And then you need to resolve. Resolve that every time that temptation or desire comes, that you go to the Lord in prayer. And ask him to defeat it. You see, the prodigal son, his problems did not start in the far country. They didn't even start when he walked down the road with his belongings. They didn't even start when he spoke to his father and asked him for his inheritance. His problems started many days, weeks, months, maybe even years before, when he desired something that was wrong. And friend, what your desires are today, if they are not checked and if they are not godly, will result in sin in your life. Maybe today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe down the road. But a sin left unchecked will rear its head. Remember, child of God, you're a witness of Christ. You're his child, you're a purchased possession, and a heart of wrong desires will result in a divided life. No stability, no maturity. And I ask you this morning, if there is a Christian, is there a part of your heart that you're holding back from God? Are there desires you play about with in your head and let your imagination run wild? Oh God, take hold of that person's heart and imagination and give them godly imaginations and godly desires. Is the Lord asking you this morning, give me your heart? So what does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? It means to want Christ. To want his presence in your life, to want his pathway to be the one that you walk, to want his principles to be the way your life is guided, the word of God. And there's a lovely little chorus, and here's what it says, more of you, more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. More of you. First thought is the focus of our desires. Second, the following of our desires. What do we do with godly desires? Seeking Christ, seeking his blessing. Well, here's the thing. We act upon them. Now, we pray against wrong desires. We repent from them. We resolve to go on with God. But we always act upon godly desires. And there must be sincerity in these desires. You know, we must truly want the Lord. There's no point you saying, well, I want to be blessed. And I trust and pray that I'll be blessed at this Bible conference. But I'm only coming 2 nights. Your actions will dictate the desires. Or your desires will dictate the actions of your life. So what do I say to you? I say, I warn God's people against this, pretending to be one thing with your lips and another in your heart. Friend, it is the utmost sinfulness to walk over a meeting and say, oh, that was a blessing. When within your heart there was nothing but wrong desires and you're going out to do something sinful. It's pretending to be one thing and actually being another. It's hypocrisy. So what should we do when we've godly desires within our heart? Very simply, do what the Lord desires you to do. And if I could have one statement that would sum up what it is to desire righteousness, to hunger and thirst after righteousness or after God, it's this. Seek him. Seek him. See, the Word of God says that we are to seek him with a focused heart. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Friend, the best way to come into God's house and get the greatest spiritual blessing out of the preaching and out of the worship that takes place here is to make sure your heart is united in praise to God. And make sure your heart is focused in praise. Lord, I'm seeking you today. I don't care what's for dinner later. I'm not thinking about next week. I'm not considering what happened yesterday. I'm here to worship the Lord, and that'll get our eyes off other people. It'll get our eyes off things, and with a focus on the Lord, we will find him when we seek for him with all our heart. So we have to seek him with a focused heart. We also have to seek him where he may be found. And the Bible teaches us that he is found in his word. Because in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto us by the fathers, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Now, God has spoken to us by his Son. How? It's in the word of God. And Christ is revealed in Scripture. God is speaking to us. So if we are desiring him, then we must go to the place where he speaks and the place he is found. There are many people today, and they'll say, well, the Lord told me to say this, and the Lord told me to say that, and the Lord told me to do this, and the Lord told me to do that. It's not, when you come to Scripture, anything spiritual. It's not anything commanded by the Lord. And I'm telling you this, if somebody says, the Lord told me this, and it's not in Scripture, it wasn't the Lord telling them anything. If somebody says, the Lord told me to do this, and it's sinful, and it results in hurt, and in division, and discouragement, and the dishonoring of the name of the Lord, The Lord did not tell you to do it. It's only through Scripture and in the confines of Scripture that we have the freedom to obey the Lord. Because this is how he has spoken. And if you want and long for hunger and thirst after righteousness, you must search him with a focused heart, and you must seek for him where he may be found. And that, of course, is in Scripture. But also, it's in prayer. Because it says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And if there's a desire in your heart for more of the Lord, then there's a great need in your heart. But praise God, there's a great God for your need. And you can come before him in prayer. No point saying, "Oh, I desire more of the Lord," and then leave the Scripture and leave the prayer and skip down the road trying to be a good Christian. Friend, it doesn't work. But not only do we have to seek him with a focused heart, and we seek him in the Word, and we seek him in prayer, but we also seek him in faith, claiming his promises. And there was one of our brethren in the prayer meeting just beforehand prayed, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And you come to the Lord seeking for your need to be met and for your desire to be fulfilled and for you to be blessed, because he is a God who giveth and giveth and giveth again. So what do you do this morning to follow righteousness? You seek the Lord sincerely. You go to the Word. You go to the place of prayer. And you claim his promises. And friend, whatever he reveals to you, whatever he calls you to do, you do it. If he places on your heart to go and invite somebody to a gospel meeting, go and do it. If he puts a desire in your heart to pray, go and pray. If he puts a desire in your heart to commit yourself to the work of God, go and do it. We've thought about the focus of our desires, it must be Christ. The following of our desires, seek him. But then let us think finally about the fulfillment of our desires. It says here, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, in the original, in the Greek, the word for filled, it means to gorge. To gorge yourself with food. And you can see what the picture is. It's very simple. If you desire Christ, there will be no lack of supply of the blessing of God to your soul. You'll be satisfied. And that's what somebody does when they eat or gorge themselves, or they're starving with hunger, and they eat and eat until they're full and they're satisfied. And friend, you will be satisfied in the Lord. Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Psalm 42, we read, "As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, for the living God." Psalm 63 says, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." And you know what will happen is the more you seek the Lord, the more you'll want to seek him. And the more you'll want of him. And you'll not just want the Lord here. You'll not just want the Lord in this church. You'll want the Lord outside. And that's what the psalmist said. "I will seek thee early." Praise in the morning. His soul longs for him to see the power and the glory of God as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. We're living in a dry and thirsty land. We're living in a barren land, spiritually speaking. But you know what? God's people still know the visitation of God in these meetings and in this place. And we thank God for that. Whenever somebody goes out and says, "The Lord spoke to me today. I was blessed today. God drew near and thrilled my soul. Praise the Lord. That is the work of God. And to him alone be the glory." But I tell you, someone who's seeking the Lord, it'll not be very long until they desire an unsaved land and town or family member to seek the Lord too. And their desire would see the power and the glory of God as we've experienced it here, may it be experienced outside the walls. I wonder when was the last time you drove through Muckerfelt And you said, Lord, I want to see the power and the glory of God in this place. The power of God flowing down these streets and every home into the estates, that the Lord might be glorified. You know what the Bible says? He that cometh to me shall never hunger. You'll be satisfied. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Friend, your spiritual desires will be quenched in Christ. And then Revelation tells us they shall hunger no more. You know why? Because when we get to heaven, every single spiritual, godly desire that we could possibly have will be fulfilled when we look upon the face of Jesus. And we shall be satisfied. You know why? Because we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You see, this is speaking about being satisfied by the Lord. Sinner, only Jesus satisfies. Backslider, only Jesus satisfies. Christian in this meeting, remember it, sing it, pray it, live it. Only Jesus satisfies. We're spoiled for this world. And Mary said, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found. And found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy. Not other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Do you know who wrote that hymn? No, you don't, because it's anonymous. A friend, that person wrote that hymn and effectively said, you know, it doesn't matter if my name's at the bottom. Only Christ can satisfy. And if you're looking for peace and satisfaction and love and life and lasting joy, and there's not one person in this meeting, but they want all of those things, they're only found in Christ. You can try the broken cisterns, you can try the world, you can try sin, but I'm telling you, there's only true spiritual satisfaction and love and peace and joy found in Christ. Every believer will testify of that. We could stand here all day testifying only Christ satisfies, and praise God, he does satisfy. And if you're satisfied with something, then you'll not seek another source of blessing. You'll desire others to know the blessing that you're enjoying. You'll long for that blessing to be poured out over and over and over and over again. And you'll realize that every blessing here is a foretaste of heaven. You know, if you come out of a meeting and the Spirit of God's been in it, you can walk out and say, what will it be when we get to heaven? What do you desire today? Do you desire the possession of others? The world's goods? Sensual satisfactions? Even sensible enjoyments? Or, friend, do you desire holiness of heart and life and a deliverance from sinfulness that we're prone to? One of the old Bible commentators says this, I will show you a more excellent way, a more excellent object of your hunger and thirst, and it's righteousness. Firstly, a righteousness wherein you may stand before God in salvation. And then secondly, the righteousness of a holy life. There's not one person who lived a holy life and turned around at the end of it and said, I regret it. You know what they say? I wish I'd given him more. And my final quote today is this, never was there a desire to be holy which God was not willing to gratify. And the gospel of Christ has made provision to satisfy all who truly desire to be holy. There's enough in the work of Christ, more than enough, to make you holy. Friend, what's your desire today? We're turning to hymn 394. And for every believer in this meeting, I want you to sing this from the depths of your heart, and I want you to really raise the roof. Oh, none but Christ can satisfy, 394. None other name for me. There's love, and there's life, and there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, bound in thee. And I tell you, at the start of this Bible conference, I tell you, going into a new week, I tell you, dear child of God today, if you hunger and thirst after Christ and righteousness, then praise God, you shall be filled. Let's stand and sing this hymn together and then remain standing for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the stillness in this meeting this morning. We pray, Lord, what has been of thee will live on and prosper. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground and perish. We do pray, Lord, especially today for God's people, Lord, that you'll take away sinful desires. Lord, whenever they come, may we highlight them, pray over them, and confess them, repent of them, Lord. I ask thee, Father, that, Lord, we will not be consumed by wrong desires, but, O Lord, we'll be delivered, that we might honor and please thee. We pray, Lord, at the commencement of this conference tonight, we pray you'll give us the right desires within our heart. O Lord, help not carnality and worldliness and the old man to have any say in what we do this week, but, O Lord, may Christ lead us and guide us this week. We thank you, Lord, you promised you'll lead us in paths of righteousness. Lord, you promised, Proverbs 2, you'll lead us in every good path. And while there are many paths, Lord, we desire to walk the good paths and the right paths. Oh, lead thy people, we pray. Lord, save those who are not saved this morning. Give them a desire to be saved. Oh, Lord, we pray for the backslider this morning. Give them a desire to come back to the Father's house. Give them a desire, Lord, to know the joy of thy salvation restored in their lives. Oh, Lord, work, we pray. Do miracles in this meeting, we ask. May God be glorified. Bless us, bring us back to this place tonight, Lord. May we be prepared for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Oh, bless us in this conference. We leave every man before thee. Lord, use him as thy servant. Oh, Lord, may none be seen, even in this pulpit, save Christ. We ask for his glory alone. Amen and amen.